Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have been bringing to you a series of messages on the subject of spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. And I know that some of you have been listening to a few of these broadcasts, and I don't want to keep repeating myself, but I want to call your attention again that the subject of sacrifice is a very important subject to God. This subject is mentioned so many times in the Old Testament, the sacrifices we offer to God. And of course, the first thing we think about when we think about sacrifices, we think about the material things they offer to God, the blood sacrifices they offered of animals, the fruit, the wheat, the grain, and other things they brought to God. We also think of the gifts they gave to God, the gift of their tithes, their money they gave to support the work of God. So when we think of it, we first of all think of this. It's interesting in this series of messages that God also emphasizes another type of sacrifice altogether. This has to do with the sacrifices we offer in our hearts to God. And this is also vitally important to God. So I'm not minimizing the other kinds of sacrifices we offer to God in our day today. Of course, we don't offer blood sacrifices today. Jesus was that one great final sacrifice. The book of Hebrews makes this very, very clear. There will never be another sacrifice offered. Jesus is that one final great sacrifice to God, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. But as we come before God today, God is now examining, of course, our faithfulness in the work of God. He's examining our giving to the work of God. He's examining the way we walk in the world, the good things we seek to do to please and honor God, and things like this. But in addition to this, God is also recognizing the things that are truly in our hearts. And I want to emphasize again and again in this series of messages, there is no substitute for the sacrifices of our hearts to God. These things we offer from the heart, from the depths of ourselves, the things we offer to God, our obedience, our thanksgiving, our brokenness of heart, our righteousness, holiness before God, our seeking after God's will, the integrity of our lives, and all of these other things that we've been speaking of. There's no substitute for these things. And if we're making other things a substitute, God is not accepting the sacrifices we're offering. In other words, the money I give to the church is of no value if in my heart I'm disobeying God, if in my heart I'm not offering to God what He wants. So the other things are important, and I won't minimize those. But without the sacrifices of the heart, these things have no value whatsoever. Today, I want to speak to you about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. There is a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And there's a phrase there that I want to especially bring to your attention. And in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5, he has this to say. Verse 9, he says, "Therefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And now this phrase, "Knowing therefore the fear or the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And I want to stop right there. The word terror in the King James Version has the meaning of the fear of the Lord. "Because I know the fear of the Lord, I persuade men." I don't want to go into this subject deeply, but in the Old Testament, the term "the fear of the Lord" had a very special meaning. And I believe some of this meaning is in this passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. As you go through the books of the Old Testament, again and again the phrase is used, "the fear of the Lord." When you study the book of Deuteronomy, this book teaches this word, "fear of the Lord," many, many times. When you go into the book of Psalms and Proverbs, this term is used again and again and again, the fear of the Lord. We find this especially in the book of Proverbs, where again and again the phrase is used, the fear of the Lord. Now, what is this fear of the Lord that he's talking about here? It's used in other ways, but I want to emphasize this particular way we use the term. It has to do with an attitude we have toward God, a heart attitude towards God that we have. It's an approach to God and the particular way we approach God. If you were to look at Numbers chapter 20, you see there where God in his glory came down on the mountain, and now he calls Moses up onto the mountain to meet with him. And just before this time, even in the 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, in the 20th chapter, where the glory of God came down on this mountain, God once and for all was trying to teach these people of Israel the fear of the Lord. He came down in terrifying fashion. Imagine how they felt when the smoke began to rise, the trumpets were blowing, the thunder was thundering, and all of these things were happening. And they were terrified. They couldn't even stand to be near God. In fact, God warned them, don't even come near this mountain. You're going to die if you come near this mountain, because my presence is here. But God was trying to teach them something. He was trying to teach them that he will always be the Lord God Almighty. He is not to be approached carelessly. He's not to be thought of carelessly. He's not to be spoken of carelessly. Nothing. We are to approach him as a Lord God Almighty. Even in our relationship with him as our loving Heavenly Father, we are never permitted to show disrespect to him. He is still the Lord God of glory, and we approach him with fear in our lives. We're approaching him with deep respect. We're approaching him with hearts that are bowed and kneeling before him as the Lord God Almighty. And so these people were around this mountain for nearly 11 months. What wonderful results could have come if in their time around this mountain, these people had truly known the fear of the Lord. They never would have forgotten it. Not just simply of being afraid of God, but developing in their hearts and lives in these 11 months of being in this Bible school of the Old Testament, this time of being led apart by God into this place of holiness and the presence of God, if they had developed this love for God and this respect for God and this bowing before God that God wanted them to have. Instead, when Moses was up on the mountain in Exodus 32 and 33, now they become so used to the presence of God, so used to the truth of God, so used to all of the commands of God, that now they have the freedom, they feel, to turn their backs on God and make a golden calf and worship the golden calf. Imagine the anger of God. The first thing God said was to Moses, I'm going to destroy this entire nation in Exodus 32, and I'm going to start over again with you. In other words, I cannot accept these people. How dare they treat me like this? How dare they come before my presence like this, turning their backs on me when my glory is here? I'm manifesting myself, and now they dare to turn their backs on me and worship a golden calf and spurn me, reject me completely. And only the prayer of Moses kept God from doing this. Moses, with a compassion for the people and still a love for God and devotion to God, begged God, please don't do this to this people. And then again God said, well, if I don't destroy them, at least my presence will no longer be with them. I will simply send an angel before them. He will lead them. He will lead them into the land. He will give them victory, but they will never again know my presence. And then again Moses prayed, if we do not have your presence, we don't even want to leave this place. I love you, Lord, and I don't want to leave this place leading this people if your presence is not with us. And so God relented, and God gave them presence. But we can learn from this. Is it possible in our Christian lives that we ourselves in some ways can turn our backs on God, treat Him with disrespect, treat Him with less than the honor He deserves as the Lord God Almighty, no longer come into His presence with the same attitude toward Him? So the term, the fear of the Lord, is basically an attitude. It's an attitude. It's taught in Judges 2-4 and some of these other passages where it was either missing or where it was expected. And it's taught throughout Psalms and Proverbs. It's an attitude of heart. And if your attitude is not right with God in this matter, get right with God. Simply confess to God that your attitude has not been right, and kneel before Him and say to God, I'm sorry for this, and from now on I want to deeply, deeply respect You. I'm going to exalt You in my life, and I'm going to lift You high as the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to regard You like this, and I will never forget this. Make a promise to God, and then keep your promise. And so I would pray this for each of you, that you might approach God with an attitude, whether you serve Him or whatever you do, that you would approach Him with the attitude of the fear of the Lord. May God help you, each one. The Lord bless you.